are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, August the 14th, and diving into the schedule a little bit more today. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. We are burning the midnight oil tonight, early on Wednesday morning, and I've got an early flight as well. We're staying up late for you guys because we're going to take the rest of the week off. I'm heading down to Florida and getting ready to see some Tigers minor league action, see some family as well. So this will be the last episode of the week before we come back to you guys on Monday, but we got the three out. So I fulfilled my duties as the host of the Locked on Pistons podcast. Today we're going to play a game of where in the world is Dwayne Casey? Not Carmen Sandiego, but Dwayne Casey. We're also going to talk about the World Cup of Basketball a little bit, fill you in case you're only half noticing some headlines like I have over these last couple weeks. We're also going to crunch some numbers from the schedule, including the craziest stat I saw pertaining with the Pistons schedule that was released on Monday. Also, I was looking for a final segment, and I looked on Pistons Reddit, found some interesting stuff. So we're going to play a little game of three very interesting things that I basically just stole from the pages of the Detroit Pistons subreddit. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook as well. But the national teams are out there doing World Cup warm-up games right now in preparation for the competition, which begins on September 1st in China. Basketball, the FIBA, have kind of rebranded their world championships around kind of the Soccer World Cup. Obviously, the World Cup in soccer being the biggest thing that there is out there. So the basketball universe wanted to try to kind of mimic it a little bit. So they changed their name to the World Cup recently. And unfortunately for NBA fans or fans of international basketball, a lot of the top players, not just from the United States, but teams from all over the country, have dropped out. That number has continued with Kyle Lowry, I believe on Tuesday, dropping out because of a thumb injury that he has. But as for Team USA, some other news there. Thad Young of now the Chicago Bulls and Bam Adebayo of Miami, they got cut after the scrimmage from the national team on Friday night. In that game in Las Vegas, Team USA beat the USA select team 97-78. And after Thad Young and Bam got knocked off the national team, Derek White and Marvin Bagley III, who played well for the select team, they got moved up to the national team. Now, you've heard about some of the names of the folks on the national team. We know that Andre Drummond dropped out a couple of weeks before training camp with the national team. And then there's the select team, and that also doesn't have any Pistons on it as we speak. Some of the names on that select team include Jared Allen of the Brooklyn Nets, Mikal Bridges of Phoenix, Jalen Brunson of Dallas, John Collins of Atlanta, Pat Connaughton, the Pistons killer, from the Milwaukee Bucks, Torrey Craig of the Denver Nuggets, De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings, although I believe he has been moved up to the national team since I looked at this list. Joe Harris, same thing for him as well, to the national team from the Nets. Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic, Jaren Jackson Jr., the Michigan Stater of the Memphis Grizzlies, and also Mitchell Robinson of the Knicks and Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks. Jeff Van Gundy, brother of former Pistons coach Stan Van Gundy, in case you weren't sure, he has been coaching the select team. The U.S. will continue its World Cup preparation on Friday against Spain. That game is going to be in Anaheim, California. And then the U.S. is going to head over to Australia for three exhibition games over there. Ben Simmons not playing with the Australians, by the way. And the Pistons will open up eventually their World Cup conquest and that's going to be September 1st in China. So watch out for that. But other teams preparing for the World Cup as well, one of them being Japan, and Rui Hachimura, a guy who I was kind of difficult on in the draft process, and some of you guys liked him, I know that. He's playing for his home nation of Japan as they prepare for the World Cup. They played a scrimmage exhibition game against New Zealand over the weekend, and Rui Hachimura scored 35 points in a 10-point win. Rui went number 9 overall to the Washington Wizards. It's a player that the Pistons could have been targeting at number 15 had he fell. And obviously the Pistons did not have a chance to draft him. Instead, went with Sekou Doumbouya of France. The 21-year-old Rui Hachimura scored 22 points in the first half. And why do we care about this Pistons fan? Because the ESPN story about it noted that he impressed none other than Detroit Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey, and I quote, "I think he's going to be a heck of a player. The NBA is a physical game, a tough game. He's got a great body for the NBA." Casey, who is in Japan for a coaching clinic and was at the game as a spectator, told the Kyoto News. The quote continues, "I see Rui developing his game to move out to the three-point line because that's where the NBA is. Great kid, great work ethic," end quote. Like, as we know, Dwayne Casey has extensive experience with Japan basketball, coaching over there and being exiled from college basketball after a recruiting scandal at Kentucky when he was assistant coach at the Wildcats. He coached professionally over in Japan as well until George Karl brought him back to the United States with the Seattle Supersonics, that former team, in 1994. He ended up coaching the Rain Man, the Glove, some of those teams that were dominant in the Western Conference, especially, you know, in the regular season, although they did make the NBA Finals and lost to Jordan's Bulls one time as Dwayne Casey's career kind of took off from there and got his first head coaching job with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you kind of know the story from there. Dallas Mavericks, after he lost that job, ended up being an assistant, won the championship, stopping LeBron James there in the Miami Heat, ended up getting the chance in Toronto, successful run there, coach of the year, Pistons, blah, blah, blah. You know the story there. But what you don't know about is the support for today's show comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt men's grooming. You may have seen Manscaped on Shark Tank and Men's Journal named their Lawnmower 2.0 as one of the best tools in men's grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Don't use the other stuff that you use for other things in your house. You know what I'm talking about. That is Locked On, the promo code at manscaped.com. Get 20% off there. Promo code Locked On, manscaped.com. You will not regret it. Up next, we're going to dive into some of the numbers for the schedule that was released on Monday. Found some ones that I really like. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I will give you three things that I stole from Reddit as I was trying to end up my preparations for this podcast, but wanted to pass on some credit to a Twitter user named Yaya Dubin. He is a writer for Last Night in Basketball. You can check him out on Twitter at JADubin5. Again, that's JADubin5. That's his handle on Twitter. And found some interesting stats from him, so give him a follow. Check him out. I'm going to be interested in that. He's got a Patreon account, by the way, in case you want to help him out in his travails of covering hoops for the Pistons and NBA and all that good stuff. But a couple of things that I liked about some of the compilations he made based on the NBA schedules is he put together a list of all the teams and how many times that they prepare are on national television. I know he's not the only one who did that, but that's the way I found it. And he had something else that we're going to talk about a little bit later on that was interesting too, including the most interesting stat I found about the Detroit Pistons and their schedule coming up. We know, as we talked about yesterday, the Pistons will be on ESPN two times this upcoming season. That's in January against the Nets on the road, and also in March, I believe, against the 76ers on the road. Now, something I didn't pass along yesterday is that the Pistons also have four games on NBA TV in addition to those two ESPN games. Those four games being on the road at New Orleans on December 9th, taking on Zion Williamson for the first time in Pistons history. Second one being at the Clippers on January 2nd, right after the new year. Of course, that means Blake Griffin playing against his former team and all the drama associated with that. And then finally, national television comes to Detroit and packs up their gear, drives to the Motor City, and the Orlando Magic are in town taking on the Pistons. That's March 17th. That's the first time any national broadcast coming to the nation from Detroit. And then one more time is going to be on April 13th. The last home game of the season will be on NBA TV. That's the Celtics at the Pistons the night before the final game of the season, when the Pistons will once again for the second straight year play a second half of back-to-back in the last game of the year at New York against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. So you add together the two ESPN games and the four NBA TV games, and you have six national television games. Now, like I said, Yaya Dubin put together some interesting stats and just basically ranked all the teams in the NBA based on how many national TV games they got. The Pistons were ranked number 22nd in that list in the NBA, tied for 22nd and tied with four other teams there. But I say hold on. I think that there's more to this story, because when you talk about comparing TNT games and ESPN games to NBA TV games, obviously there's a little bit of a redheaded stepchild, so to speak, as far as those. No offense to the redheaded stepchildren out there that are listening, but obviously there's a little bit of a black sheep there. No offense to the black sheep that are listening as well. But NBA TV, you know, all national TV games aren't created equally. Now, you could probably throw ABC in as being maybe even a little bit more important than ESPN and TNT, especially those Saturday night games. But teams we're talking about here on this segment don't have to worry about that because none of them are playing on ABC. I'm talking about the bottom third of that list and trying to make a little bit more of an adjustment to that. Like I said, because NBA TV isn't quite as big of a deal, and certainly the households around the country don't have NBA TV as much as they have ESPN and TNT, so you're not going to just kind of casually catch a sports fan sliding through the channels and have them slip an NBA TV game on Monday night. So I'd change that formula that Yahya Dubin put out to make it so that NBA TV games count as half as much as a national televised game. So I created a little bit of not really a spreadsheet, but just in my head did some computations. So if you add, for the Pistons' sake, you say that those ESPN games are actually one in value for the purposes of this exercise that we're doing, and then you change the value of those four NBA TV games in half and say it's basically the equivalent of two ESPN games. So basically you're saying you make an adjusted rate of saying that the Pistons have 4.0 national televised games. You see what I'm saying there? I think you can follow along with what I'm saying. ESPN, TNT would be one, and then NBA TV would be like 0.5. Now, if I was going to extrapolate this and do the whole list and add in those ABC games, for a regular ABC game that's on like a Sunday afternoon, I might say something like 1.2 as far as value of national TV games. But then if you're throwing in those Saturday nights, I might go close to 1.5 or say something like 1.4. But now I'm just making up a hypothetical in my head that has nothing to do with the exercise that I put together. So what I did is I crunched the numbers for the teams at the bottom and tried to make a more accurate representation of where the Pistons are in terms of how many times that they appear on national television in my weighted formula that I put together. Well, turns out that they're still tied for 22nd, except that they're only tied with one team for 22nd, as opposed to being tied with four teams for 22nd. They were tied with the New York Knicks, but we moved them up because they actually have two TNT games and one ESPN game, and only the three NBA TV games. So they're at a 4.5 in addition to the Sacramento Kings. They're tied for 20th. The Pistons tied for 22nd with their two ESPN games and four NBA TV games at a adjusted value of 4.0. Phoenix Suns, who were originally in 21st place by themselves in the original list because they have seven national televised games, we actually bumped them down to a 4.0 as well because they have the one TNT game and six NBA TV games. Below the Pistons, falling even farther on my adjusted scale, are teams that were originally tied with the Pistons for national TV games. That's Minnesota and Orlando. Both of them have one ESPN game and five NBA TV games, so they become 3.5, tied for 24th on my weighted adjusted scale. Next is Memphis at 26th. One TNT, one ESPN, and two NBA TV games. So that's three total, 3.0. And then tied for 27th, you got Washington, and surprisingly, kind of, Chicago. The Chicago Bulls, big market team, but obviously pretty boring. One ESPN game and three NBA TV games. No TNT games. That's a team that has traditionally done shockingly well on TNT over their lifetime, so they get a 2.5. And then tied for last in both of these, the regular list and also my weight adjusted list, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Charlotte Hornets tied for 29th. They both have one of the regular games, Cleveland being on ESPN, Charlotte being on TNT, and they both each have two NBA TV games, so they get a weight adjusted 2.0. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. The Pistons, so I guess they would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, tied for 7th in worst, lowest amount of national TV games, whether you crunch it with my weight adjusted total or stick with the regular quote-unquote national TV games. But then Yahya crunched the numbers based on the schedules and the Vegas over-under totals. He threw together a formula to figure out who has the hardest schedule in the league and then came up with some other subset type of conclusions based on that. He found out that the Suns and the Thunder have the hardest schedule with teams at a 51.9% winning percentage. Now, of course, keep in mind that bad teams are going to have harder schedules because they don't get to play themselves, and good teams are going to have easier schedules because they don't have to play themselves. I don't know if I said that correctly, but you get what I'm saying there. The Bucks, furthermore, have the easiest schedule in the league, playing teams with a combined winning percentage of 49.0%. And again, a lot of that has to do with the Bucks being good, but also playing in a conference and playing four teams against teams like the Pistons, the Bulls, and the Cavs. Now, looking at this computation, Yaya had the Pistons as the 25th hardest schedule in the league, meaning it was actually tied for the fourth easiest schedule in the league. Again, you had lots of Cavs, lots of Bulls. And then the anomaly that we talked about in yesterday's show about the schedule, what I thought was the number one most important thing about yesterday's schedule reveal is that the Pistons are only playing the three Eastern Conference games against teams outside the division, being Boston, Philly, Orlando, and Miami, and still playing four against everyone else, including a couple of the dregs, Brooklyn, and then the dregs, Washington, New York, and Charlotte, Atlanta, kind of a half dreg, and then a good team in Toronto as well. So the Pistons got lucky in terms of the weighted schedule against Eastern Conference foes that aren't in their division. Now, Yaya comes up with the craziest stat of all, and here it is. The Pistons have, according to his weighted schedules against the Vegas over-under totals, which are pretty good representations of where people feel like the teams are going to end up, the Pistons actually have the NBA's easiest schedule before the All-Star break in mid-February, and then they turn around, and after that mid-February, during the tough stretch after that we know about, it is actually the league's toughest schedule after the All-Star break. Wow. The easiest schedule before the All-Star break, and then the league's toughest schedule after the All-Star break. Well, what does that mean? Number one, as a team early on in the season, and not just early, but the first two-thirds of the season, because we know the All-Star break is much later than the half-season point for the NBA, you better be banking wins if you're the Detroit Pistons. And part two, talking more to the fans about this one, make sure that, you know, come December when this team has a pretty good record and is, comfortably in the NBA playoffs at that point in the East, you know, pour a little water on yourself, cool yourself down after that big start. Don't get too excited. Don't keep thinking about home court advantage in the first round or anything like that. Because if you remember, this is a team, the Pistons, who have had two straight seasons now where they were, you know, undoubtedly a mediocre team when all is said and done by the end of the season. And a few weeks into the season, or maybe even a couple months in, this is a team that had the record of a very good team. So again, another weak schedule early on could lull the fan base into a false sense of security, but let's not fall for that again. I've never fallen for that, but I know that you guys maybe did. Some other subset stats of Yaya's numbers that he put up. Detroit's month of March is the fourth toughest month for any team of the year, and we know that that's obviously one of the closing months, so thing to watch out for there. Now, if I were messing with the numbers that Yaya had, I'd try to throw in some kind of formulas in the month-by-month breakdowns about home versus away numbers. I don't think he did that. And I would also account for the back-to-back numbers in that as well, and maybe hurt the teams who were on back-to-back games and help the more rested teams, things like that. I think you could go maybe throw some of that stuff into the formula and expand some of these thoughts a little bit more, make it a little bit more telling. But again, appreciate those stats. Give a follow to our new guy, J.A. Dubin, D-U-B-I-N-5, J-A-D-U-B-I-N-5. On Twitter. Give him a follow there. But the Locked On NFL, it is on fire. Last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows out there, with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast of all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. Up next, I've got three things that I stole from Reddit. Just blatantly just stole it. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, I needed some interesting stuff to finish off the show, so I went on the Detroit Pistons subreddit and just stole it, just thieved some stuff away from them. So first of all, props to those guys for the good work that they do, interesting stuff. If you're a big Pistons fan, you should always be checking out Reddit because there's all sorts of cool stuff that people are talking about on there, and a good community of online folks, so be sure to check that out. But we talked on Monday's show after the signing of Michael Beasley and pointed out that the Pistons now have the number one and number two picks of the 2008 draft, and both picked up this offseason in Derrick Rose and now Michael Beasley, number two. We also pointed out that Blake Griffin He was the first pick of the 2009 NBA draft. So a big thing there. Something I didn't point out and was pointed out on Reddit, and I stole it, is that the last time the Pistons had the number one and number two picks from the same draft was the 1980 draft, when Mark Aguirre was number one and Isaiah Thomas was number two. That's right. Mark Aguirre of DePaul, the number one pick, and Isaiah Thomas of Indiana went number two there. That's the first interesting thing that I stole off of Reddit. The second one is that, and I don't think I came across this on Twitter. I've just been a little bit removed from Pistons Twitter because I've been checking out the Lions and the Tigers and all that good stuff and trying to stay off of Twitter as much as possible in the offseason as well. But Blake Griffin will be on the dais roasting Alec Baldwin for the Comedy Central roast that's coming up. That is going to be taping on September 7th and then airing on September 15th. So we'll want to check that out on Comedy Central. And we all know that just because it's Alec Baldwin that's going to be getting the brunt of all the jokes in this one, all the people on the stage kind of make fun of each other. It's kind of a an orgy of sorts of roasting that's going on. So Blake Griffin will probably get his fair share of jokes. You would imagine maybe there'll be some Detroit jokes involved in that too as well. Who knows? Who knows whether there's some things that that Blake will get made fun of for. But we'll just let the professionals handle that and see what kind of things they come up with as far as material. Sometimes those, as we know, get a little bit below the belt, and then I'll be interested to know what people will go for with Blake Griffin there. And the third interesting thing that I stole from Twitter, and again, a little bit derelict in my duties because I probably should have seen this elsewhere before seeing it just now on Twitter, but the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30 that we've known about, that's actually going to be set to premiere on ESPN on September 10th. So that's coming up soon. The film will be narrated by Jamie Foxx, and it will chronicle Rodman's Hall of Fame career and, of course, his infamous exploits on and off the court. You know, it's kind of going to be that trajectory going up when he's on the Detroit Pistons, everything that happened there. Of course, you would imagine they'll probably cover the time that he was at the Palace of Auburn Hills parking lot, or maybe it was the Silverdome parking lot, but sitting out there with a shotgun in his car, and was in a bad place personally at that time, and how Chuck Daly was kind of an early mentor and in some ways probably a little bit of a savior in his life. And, you know, Dennis Rodman kind of went a little bit off the rails when we lost Chuck Daly, the Hall of Fame coach dying there. You know, and obviously a lot to discuss with Dennis Rodman, and we'll see how much of his Pistons tenure is part of that 30 for 30. Again, that's September 10th on ESPN. The Worm came back, got his number retired, and, you know, is now trying to solve the world peace problem. So interested to see how that goes, and interested to see how Pistons Nation reacts to Dennis Rodman. Of course, the defensive player of the year and rebounding king back in his Pistons days. But things started to spiral a little bit after that. But if your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com, or email locked, L-O-C-K-E-D, at lockedonpodcast.com to get more details about increasing your business. Well, guys, I got to go finish packing. I'm heading to Florida for a few days. We'll be back with another episode on Monday, but that'll do it for this week's episodes. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys in a few days.